Welcome to the Functional Medicine Radio Show with your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, known internationally as the Functional Medicine Doc. Dr. Carrie is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems and fixing the cause with natural treatments so they can feel normal again. Dr. Carrie is the founder of Functional Medicine Ontario and is the author of the hit book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. Please welcome your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Functional Medicine Radio Show, the only internet radio show dedicated to giving you real solutions to improve your health. Not only are they real solutions, but they're natural solutions as well. Because as you know, the one and only true wealth you have is your health. I'm your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, the Functional Medicine Doc, and I'm committed to helping you find the root cause of your health problem, fix the cause with natural treatments, so you can feel normal again and live your life to the fullest. Just a quick bit of housekeeping before I introduce today's special guest. I'm happy to announce that I'm working on my next book. The title is Reclaim Your Digestive Health and Feel Normal Again, Fixing the Root Cause of Your GI Distress with Natural Treatments. Now, this book should be ready later this year, so keep an eye out for it. Okay, that's it for our housekeeping, so let's get started. I'm very excited about today's show because my special guest is Maria Claps. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Maria is a certified health coach and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. She has trained with Dr. Sarah Gottfried in order to help women balance their hormones. Maria, thank you so much for being my special guest today on this episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show.
Thanks, Dr. Carrie. Super excited to be here.
So, Maria, I wanted to kind of dedicate this show to hormones and women's health and all of that kind of stuff. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on today, because you look at hormones from kind of a different perspective. So some of the other guests that I've had on have talked about the different blood tests that are commonly done for hormones and the, you know, the pros and cons, the strengths and weaknesses of those. And then, of course, in the functional medicine community, there are the saliva tests that are often done to help with assessing hormonal health, whether it's cortisol or DHEA or estrogen or progesterone or testosterone. But you have a different test that you use when you're looking over hormonal imbalances or looking over hormonal health. So can you talk about what that test is and why do you use it and what's so different about it? And what is it about using that helps complete the whole picture of looking at hormones? Because it's a difficult area to assess.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the test is called the Dutch test. And the reason I like it is because when I learned about hormones, and I'm sure when we all learned, we all learned about the saliva test. It's pretty much been the dominant model in assessing hormone imbalances in the like alternative health community for about the past 30 years. And I think it's decent, and I think it's probably even a good way to be introduced to understanding testing and hormones. But I think it's incomplete, and I think that it leaves out, it really is not good for, say, women over 40, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But the reason why I like the Dutch test is because it gives a much fuller picture. There are too many people walking around thinking they have adrenal fatigue and, you know, maybe they feel a little bit defeated, depending on their personality. You know, sometimes that, you know, information can motivate them, but sometimes it's also a little bit discouraging as well. And the fact of the matter is that the diagnosis of adrenal fatigue has really depended upon a 4-point salivary cortisol measurement. And, you know, when you have low cortisol, then you are then diagnosed with adrenal fatigue. Okay, so about the test, it shows you free cortisol. So that is the cortisol measurement that you would get in a saliva test. So that's anywhere between, I believe, 2-5% of your total cortisol production, and that's the cortisol that has the, you know, the cell signaling effects. It's unbound and it can enter the cells, and it's a good measurement, but it's not a really accurate picture of production. And to get to see what the adrenals are really producing, you need to look at a value called metabolized cortisol, and that's really closer to about 80% of adrenal production of cortisol. And therefore, it tells us, okay, so what's your free cortisol? It gives us that up and down pattern that we can see. What's your morning, your afternoon, your late afternoon, your evening cortisol? And it helps us to assess the imbalances that have to do with circadian rhythms. But if you're low in that, you've been determined to have adrenal fatigue, but that's not necessarily true, because it's only a very small percentage of your overall production. When we look at metabolized cortisol, we get to see, okay, what the adrenal glands are really producing. So now if you are low free cortisol on the Dutch test and low metabolized cortisol, then maybe you do have adrenal fatigue, although I'm sure you probably know that diagnosis is undergoing a bit of scrutiny and change as we speak, because you know, the understanding cortisol really has more to do with the brain. So it's more like the hypothalamus and the pituitary, signaling to the adrenals. It's not really the adrenals that determine the production of cortisol. It's that loop. So
yeah, that's what makes it difficult to try and figure out what's really going on in the body, because it's not just the adrenals. As you said, there's the brain involvement with the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus talks to the pituitary gland, and the pituitary is the conductor of all the hormones in your body, and the pituitary talks to, amongst all the different glands, the adrenals, and tells them what to do. So, Maria, so you were saying the adrenal glands make metabolized cortisol, and then in the body, metabolized cortisol gets turned into cortisol, free cortisol?
No, I don't think that is it. It's a measurement that we can look at, how much cortisol you're metabolizing, and it passes through the kidneys, and then it can be picked up in urine. And that is basically just a marker for overall production. That tells us, are your adrenals producing cortisol? Because when you get that diagnosis of adrenal fatigue from the salivary measurements and you show up as low, like low overall cortisol, if you add up your four, readings throughout the day, and that number is like, say, 10 or 12 or something like that, then it's like, wow, you have low cortisol. I was actually first taught that when a client presents with single sum cortisol numbers, so basically under 10 on a saliva test, that's a medical referral. And if I saw that today, I probably would still do that, refer out to a medical doctor. But I would want to say, you know what, before we go ahead thinking you have low cortisol, let's test you with the Dutch test to see if those adrenals are really producing. Because it's that value for metabolized cortisol that says whether or not you're actually really producing cortisol. I mean, we are obviously always producing it, but we need to be producing it in the right amount. And like I said, just looking at a low cortisol reading on a saliva test, it's a good value because it can alert us to circadian rhythm imbalances, but it doesn't really tell us what the adrenals are doing, if they're really producing enough.
Yeah, with all tests have their strengths and weaknesses. And when I'm looking at a test, I'm looking at, okay, what is this test telling me? And what is this test not telling me? And we always have to think about that as doctors when we're looking over test results. So Maria, what you're saying then, to go back, is that what you're saying is the adrenals, they make the cortisol, and then the cortisol gets metabolized or broken down, and that's what gets measured on the Dutch test.
Yes.
And it's a urine test.
Correct, yes.
So it's whatever your body is excreting.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about the Dutch test. So you've been talking about cortisol. Does it measure any other hormones?
Sure. So it measures melatonin, and it also measures your estrogen and your progesterone and your testosterone. It doesn't give a direct, progesterone can't be picked up in the urine, so it gives a correlation to what a blood measurement of testosterone would be. But the researchers and the chemists at the lab have found pretty good correlation with their measurement to what it would show up in a blood measurement. Another great thing about the Dutch test is that it doesn't just give you a total value for estrogen. It gives you your E1, E2, E3. And then, even more importantly, it gives you your metabolites of estrogen. So it can tell you whether or not you're producing enough of the 2-hydroxyestrone, which we know is considered the more protective metabolite. So that's great. And it can also tell you whether or not you're methylating your estrogen well. So that's a measurement, really, of liver health. How well is that liver working and detoxing and getting rid of that estrogen?
Okay, so when we look at the blood for hormones, we're looking at the free hormones and the bound hormones. And then when we're looking at the saliva testing for hormones, we're looking at the free hormones.
Right.
And then the Dutch testing tells us about what the body is excreting hormone-wise plus the different breakdown products of the hormones.
Yes. It tells you it's going to give you the breakdown of the estrogen metabolites. It's also going to tell you whether or not you are producing the more androgenic form of testosterone, whether you push down the alpha or the beta pathway. So it can also, it can help to shape, lifestyle and supplement program.
Okay, so you said, I'm going to go back a little bit here. You said earlier that saliva testing isn't good for females over 40.
Right.
So can you talk to us about that? Because you're the first one I'm hearing make that statement.
Okay. So again, a lot of what I learned, I studied with the medical director of the lab, and I studied with my main program that taught me about hormones was functional diagnostic nutrition. But basically, Dr. Carrie Jones is the medical director of Precision Analytical, and they did tests where they looked at salivary testing for estrogen for women over 40, which, as you know, we produce less estrogen as we age. It may not just be 40. It might even be 50 years old where that really drops off. As you know, it's really very different for everyone. But what they found was that the salivary assay is not sensitive enough to pick up estrogen, and then that becomes even more of a challenge for older women because they have so much less estrogen to begin with, and that the urine is just more sensitive, able to pick up estrogen better.
So again, kind of going back to the aspect of understanding what the test is telling us and what it's not telling us, and I often find that for hormone testing, actually the best thing is to test all three of them to really get the most complete picture. But there's, of course, financial limitations with, testing for all of it, too. So even with everything that we've said up to this point, Maria, what do you think are, when it comes to hormone balance, what do you think are the 4 non-negotiable factors when it comes to hormone balance?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you so much for asking. And I like tests, but I also agree they are just a point in time and they're limited. And before I get into the 4 non-negotiables, I'll just say women should never let themselves be treated on test results alone. It's just really one, small part of the picture. We need to look at that in the larger context of the person that is being treated. So the 4 non-negotiables, okay, the first is liver health. Liver has to detox everything that you come in contact with, whether that's, creams or makeups that you put on your skin to your glass of wine, which for women looking to balance their hormones, I like to say maybe just, a glass or two on the weekend, but that's just my feeling on wine. So liver health is really important. It's the liver affect hormones and is affected by hormones. So, doing a gentle detox 1 to 2 times per year with certain liver-loving herbs like milk thistle and dandelion, I think is just a great idea. It can go a long way towards hormone balance. All right, the second is adrenal health, and I'm going to couple that with stress management. I think as women, a lot of times we wear so many hats and we just drive and run and drive ourselves hard all day, you know, on our computers till late at night. Sometimes women are just putting together their kids' lunches or surfing the computer, checking emails, and then they expect to be able to have hormones, you know, balance hormones. They expect to fall into bed and just be able to kind of turn everything off and sleep at night. So I think tending to adrenal health, tending to stress management is super important. Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of women really understand how important that is, and that is one of the pillars of hormone balance. All right, and then the third thing is going to be blood sugar balance. Again, a lot of women think that they can just eat whatever they want and exercise it away, like exercise the extra calories away. And they don't realize that they're having a hormonal response to food. And if they eat excessive amounts of sugar or even refined grains, you know, wheat products, things like that, that can cause insulin to surge in the body. And then insulin can cause, you know, you to produce more aromatase, and aromatase can flip a woman's estrogen over to testosterone and can lead to hormonal imbalance that way. Obviously not with, you know, one dish of ice cream that you have, but if that's your eating pattern, which is high in refined carbs, and that can cause blood sugar imbalances, and that can lead to hormone imbalance over time. So making, you know, eating in a way that causes you to have stable insulin, eating in a way that, you know, basically carries you, your blood sugar gently carries you from one meal to the next without massive spikes or dips, is really healing for one's hormones. So that's really important. And then I usually get a little bit mixed up because I get so I get so into these three things that I often forget what the fourth one is. I'm going to say, you know, finding appropriate movement. And I like to call exercise appropriate movement because I think that, you know, we've been sold this bill of goods that we've got to do this really hardcore cardio and we need to burn off calories, and the mindset is just so restrictive around food, and it's about calorie counting and energy expenditure. And then, you know, we go and we try to balance that with this crazy, insane exercise, which I find for women, I keep saying women over 40, that's basically who I work with. I work with other people as well, but that seems to be women over 40 is who comes to me. But, you know, it's just generally not good. It's not really helpful. It can be fatiguing on the body. It can, you know, exacerbate any hot flashes that might be there. So finding appropriate movement, walking, you know, I'm big on resistance training, high intensity interval training, 20 to 30 minutes, you're done, you're out of there. So that I would say is probably my four non-negotiables for hormone balance.
Okay, so you mentioned liver health.
Yes.
Blood sugar balance, mm-hmm. adrenals and stress, and mm-hmm. then exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so from a nutritional standpoint, what are some of the key foods that our listeners can be eating to help improve their liver health?
Yeah, okay, so liver health. I think when I think of liver health, I think in terms of what not to eat. Okay, I'll cover some foods, but I think it's really important to try to diminish the burden that your liver has to do. So if you're going to eat meat, and I'm perfectly fine with that, I would really caution people not to eat supermarket meat. So I call that CAFO meat, concentrated animal feeding operations. They definitely get hormones, and you are probably exposed to those extra hormones, and you're giving your liver has to detoxify your own hormones that you make endogenously. And then if you eat CAFO meat, that basically mass-produced meat, then you're likely giving your liver extra hormones to detoxify. So just eating as clean as you can in terms of, you know, if you are lucky enough to, you know, have a farmer that you can buy from, or you can join a CSA, community-supported agriculture, and get produce that is local, I think that's going to be one of the biggest boons for your liver. And then in terms of specific foods that you can eat, well, unfortunately, you know, unless you really like dandelion, I mean, I know there are some people that like dandelion, it's very bitter, that's a great liver health food. I know Spanish black radish, also really, really great for the liver. You know, milk thistle, that's really more in a supplement. It would be great for the liver as well.
So you mentioned dandelion. So I think it's the Greek culture that tends to eat dandelion greens, and that you can saute them up in a pan just like you would spinach or kale or whatnot.
So, Italians too, I'll just say that.
There you go. It's Italians and the Greeks with the great food. So sauteed dandelion greens. So for the listeners out there, you can easily do an internet search and find some recipes. And then the other thing is to drink one or two glasses of dandelion tea every day.
Yes.
That can be helpful. And that's like the easiest way to do it.
That's a great suggestion. Absolutely. I have it in my closet. Yep.
Okay. And then what are some of the tips that you have about balancing our blood sugar? Because, I totally agree with you that that's a huge component to having healthy hormones. If your blood sugar is out of balance, it creates more stress on your body, which creates more adrenal problems, which drives the hormonal imbalance, and it's like a really vicious cycle. So what are some of the things that our listeners can do? What tips can you give them that they can help have more balanced blood sugar?
Sure. Okay. So that's a great question. My mantra for people is make sure that you get fat, fiber, and protein at every meal. So healthy fat, I love healthy fat. I think, you know, a lot of us don't get enough. And my healthy fat sources would be avocado and coconut oil. And, you know, if you can tolerate it, some good high quality organic butter. I personally use ghee myself. I love ghee. Olive oil is great. So getting those healthy fats in is really good. In terms of balancing your blood sugar, I like to say fat. You notice I didn't use the three macronutrients, the fat, the protein, and the carb. I'm not anti-carb by any means, but I like to call it fiber. I like to bring the attention more to fiber. So that fiber can be broccoli, cauliflower, leafy greens. It can be ground flax seeds, chia seeds. You can do fruit for fiber, but just getting some fat, fiber, and protein. And then protein is really whatever you like. So that can be, I like clean sources of animal protein. I occasionally have some beans, some hummus, some split pea soup. But if I do have that, if I do have split pea soup, you know, it's pretty high in carb as well, which is usually fine. It's very individual for each person. I'm making sure that I am having some fat with that for the satiation. So I said fat, fiber, protein. Yeah, that's really important for blood sugar balance. And just eating in a way and observing the body. If you eat a breakfast or a lunch and you are hungry, and I'm talking about true stomach hunger, not appetite. There's a huge difference between hunger and appetite. Appetite is, I see it, I'm bored, I'm lonely, I'm tired, I'm angry, and I want to eat. But true stomach hunger, if you have true stomach hunger, inside of 3 hours when you've eaten a meal, you've likely not balanced your blood sugar.
And so then to kind of make a mental note of that, and that at the next similar meal to somehow between that fat, fiber, protein to tweak that in some way?
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe you need to eat more fat. Maybe your portion size wasn't enough, although that's typically not the case. Most people eat plenty in terms of portion sizes. Right, you might need a little bit more fat. You might need a little bit more protein. Maybe your portion of vegetables was too scant. Then I would just change that. A lot of times I think what we need to do is we need to tune into the body and to see how we feel and let that, you know, dictate our choices. And of course, if you really are I'm not a big proponent of snacking, but if you really are hungry, truly hungry, and you know what, you haven't balanced your blood sugar, then go ahead, you know, have a snack. That's fine. I just don't think that people should plan on snacking. You know, planning on snacking to me is not the best advice.
Okay, so Maria, you've given us a lot of great advice today. Is there anything else you think our listeners need to know when it comes to having balanced hormones?
I think that if you are experiencing symptoms that, you know, that testing can play a role. I think that, you know, finding a way to mitigate and to lessen the stress in your life is really, really important. It's probably the hardest thing to do, Dr. Carey, because as women, we want to see results. We want to see them quickly. We want, you know, the greatest and latest supplement to take, or we want, you know, clear direction from our clinicians on what to do. But I think that finding a way to balance stress so that you're not making your cortisol surge, which can be inflammatory over time and can upset, you know, so many different systems in the body, is important, but it takes intention and it takes work and it takes, you know, I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to do yoga, or I'm going to change my mindset around something, or I'm going to hire help that I need, or I'm going to, you know, admit to my partner that I need help. So, you know, doing that is a lot harder than, say, taking maca or, you know, just doing, you know, doing a 6-week program. It's really like a lifestyle and mindset change.
Mm-hmm. I love how you said that. Maria, how can our listeners find out more about you?
Oh, great. Thank you for asking. So I put together I call it the guide to perimenopause, create the perimenopause you want to have, a no-fail guide for every woman. And they can get it at, it's really simple, it's mariascopes.com. So it's M-A-R-I-A, scopes, S-C-O-P-E-S.com. And it's everything that I wish I knew when I went into perimenopause. So that was about 7 or 8 years ago. And even though I went to a very kind of world-renowned holistic medical doctor in New York City, the visit was almost an epic fail. I say it was an epic, it wasn't a total epic fail, because he at least got me on my own path to researching the stuff myself, but it wasn't the greatest visit. And now that I know all that I do, I put it together in a guide for women, and it's basically a guide on having a happy perimenopause.
Wonderful. Maria, thank you so much for being my special guest today. This has been an awesome interview.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, that wraps up this very special episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show with Maria Claps. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in today. And I'd like to invite you back next week for another episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Carey Drisga, the Functional Medicine Doc. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to the Functional Medicine Radio Show with your host, Dr. Carey Drisga, known internationally as the Functional Medicine Doc. Dr. Carey is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems and fixing the cause with natural treatments so they can feel normal again. Dr. Carey is the founder of Functional Medicine Ontario and is the author of the hit book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. Please tell your friends about the Functional Medicine Radio Show, and we'll see you next week with more from Dr. Carey.